God's love. His love is sometimes hard for us to comprehend. When I think about God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and set the world in motion, and yet he still knows me and cares for me, knows my thoughts and knows my feelings, it really just is amazing to me. God loves and cares for us. We should find great joy in the fact that our Almighty God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wanted that relationship to be eternal, not just while we were here on earth. So to make that possible, he sent his only son down on the cross to be a sacrifice for our sins. We can see that here in John. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And also in 1 John 4:9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him." God sent his only son down to earth knowing that we would reject him. He knew what would happen to him and sent him anyways because he loved us. Another aspect of God's love is that it can sustain anything. Nothing can separate us from his love. It is everlasting, and it conquers all. Let's take a look at Romans 8:37-39. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is so strong and so passionate that he expects the same type of love from us. God does not expect love to be a one-way street, nor does he want our love to be half-hearted. He expects and deserves our whole selves and all of us. These next few verses will help describe what we should be giving back to God. In Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then here in Matthew 22, Jesus refers back to this verse in the New Testament when he is asked, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So how do we show our love for God? Let's take a look at that together tonight. First, you have to know God. As children of God, we need to study his word so we know what pleases him. If we do not know his word and know God, how can we ever really love him or please him? Let's take a look at a few verses. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In Psalm 19:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." As we get to know him better, we understand what he wants from us. And one of the things that he wants from us is us to worship him. Worshiping him is a great thing. And we get the opportunity to do so, to worship our God and our Creator. We should be excited and count it joy. When we as a family in Christ get to come together and praise our Lord, Jesus Christ, and God, we should never think of it as a duty, but think of it as we get to. We should be excited and love coming here. Amen. Let's see what the psalmist wrote about this. In Psalm 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." In Psalm 99:5, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship him at his footstool. He is holy." In Psalm 95:6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The psalmist here did not consider worshiping God a burden, but he was excited and longed for the next time he got the opportunity to do so. Which brings me to my next point. We are to desire God. The Bible teaches us to desire him and to long for him. We are to treasure our relationship with him. He doesn't want us to look at his love for him as an obligation, but as a way to show our appreciation for all that he has done for us in our lives. And if we can go back to Psalms and read these few verses. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then in Psalm 19, 7 through 10, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I think these two verses together provide a great perspective of how we should feel about God. Here in Psalms 42, it talks about the deer panting for the water. A deer needs water to survive. It's a necessity for the deer. We need God. Without God, we'd be dead in our sin. He's a necessity in our lives. And then in Psalm 19, it talks about God being like gold. We don't need gold, but gold is precious to us. It's something that we strive for, that we want in our lives. And that's how we should feel about God. We should want him in our lives. He is a precious treasure, and we should treat him like one. The last way I will go over tonight is obeying him. God does not want us to just follow a list of do's and don'ts. He does not want us to complete a checklist of what we have done here on this earth. He wants us to delight in doing his will and find happiness through keeping his commandments and obeying his word. John puts it pretty plainly in these next verses. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then in Psalms 48, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. I think these verses pretty much say it all. If we do truly love God, we will keep his commandments and follow what he asks us to do. One last point, and the lesson will be yours tonight. Sometimes we may be unsure whether we are showing God the love he deserves or not. In that case, we really need to examine ourselves. Paul wrote these words in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. It is important to always be examining ourselves and making sure that we are showing God the love that he deserves. We need to make sure that we are making our love for him a priority in our daily lives. And as we leave tonight, I think we can all ask ourselves a few questions. First, am I studying his word? Am I trying to get to know God better? Am I reading his word? Am I trying to understand more about him? If you're not reading his word and trying to understand him, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, then you'll not be able to love him. Second, am I attending his services? Am I excited when I get the chance to come to worship him? Or do I put it off and wait till next week? Am I making sure he is the number one priority in my life? Third, am I hungering and thirsting for him? Am I longing for a closer relationship with my God? Am I talking with him through prayer? Am I not only needing him, but wanting him? And lastly, am I keeping his commandments? Am I delighted in doing good and following his word? I'd like to thank you all for your attention tonight. And if there's anyone here who desires to start a loving relationship with God tonight, or someone who had a relationship with God but has put him in the back seat and would like to come and get the prayers of the congregation to help get their lives back on track, We ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
There is a name I love to hear.